Welcome to the November 5th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, The Greatest Commandment. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning and welcome to College Park Baptist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. Maybe a little cold outside, but it's a beautiful day and it's great to be in the house of the Lord and see all these smiling faces. If you've been here before, you know that generally there's a better looking, more articulate gentleman that stands here who has red hair. But in his absence today, and Jeff Allen, our associate pastor for students and families, is away today, it's my honor to stand before you and welcome you to this place. It's good to have you at College Park today. You'll note that there are pew pads located on each row, and I know you've heard this before, if you've been here before, but we would like to keep record of your attendance and to keep track of you best we can and stay in touch with you. So if you will, take a moment just to fill out the pew pad and pass it along to your neighbor and leave it at the other end of the row. And we appreciate you taking time to do that. In the few minutes before worship, we'd like to just to take an opportunity to share with you some of the activities, some of what's going on in the life of our church, share with you a few announcements and ministry highlights. First, about this week in our schedule, tonight we will have evening activities here at the church tonight. Last week we had a fall festival, which was very successful and well-attended and a great time of fellowship and also our life worship service. Tonight, we will be continuing with many of those same activities. We'll have Bible study at 6 o'clock, adult discipleship class, and the adult discipleship Bible study that I am leading in the Old Testament and the study of the minor prophets. We're meeting in the Ruth class downstairs in Adult 3. So we would love to have you come join us for a very discussion-oriented, interactive study regarding the minor prophets and just some good discussion about practical application of those great books of the Bible. If you haven't been here before for our study, you've missed some good things, but it's not too late to join because this is a discussion-oriented session, and it's one of those things you can just enter at midstream anytime, so we'd love to have you join us. And if you don't know where the Ruth class is, when you get here to church tonight, just ask somebody to take me to the Ruth class or take me down to Adult 3, and they'll show you where it is, and we would love to have you. Our life service will be at 7 o'clock tonight, our contemporary worship service. Life stands for living in faith every day. And if you haven't had a chance to attend our life service, we would love to have you join us. It's a very creative and meaningful time of worship. Very dynamic format tends to change from week to week and the things we do, but very meaningful music and message and time of sharing. And we'd love to have you join us. 7 o'clock in Smith Hall tonight for our life service. A reminder to youth and parents of youth that there will be no evening youth activities tonight. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we're going to host a special service, the World Day of Prayer, which is sponsored by our local association, the Piedmont Pilot Mountain Baptist Association, as well as the WMU. So they're going to have a service in this room and in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And Barbie Morgan, our own Barbie Morgan, is going to be speaking. So would love to have you come and join us. I understand that some other members of our church will be leading this service as well. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, World Day of Prayer service here in the sanctuary. Wednesday night, there will be no family night activities. This week is fall break for the Winston-Salem Forsyth County Schools. And typically we try to track the school schedule with our family night schedule. So given that it's fall break this week, we will not have any Wednesday night family night activities. So please make a note of that and hope you enjoy a night of family time and fellowship time on Wednesday night at your homes. This time I'd like to recognize Gary Elkins for an announcement.
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is not why I came up here, but to kind of tag on to what Jason said for our basketball team, we will practice Tuesday night. Just because you're off doesn't mean we don't have practice. So it'll be here at church, so don't forget that. The reason I'm up here today is, you know, for the past few weeks, you've heard me make a few announcements about Team I Am. And we had our first organizational meeting about 4 weeks ago or so in here at 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. And since that time, since that first organizational meeting, we have been attempting to identify our first project. And quite frankly, that turned out to be a little more of a challenge than we had thought it might be. But we have identified our first project. We know what we're going to do. We're looking forward to it. So we would like to have our second meeting this afternoon, 5 o'clock in here, so we can discuss a date for doing that, see who's going to be able to participate, and talk about what we're going to be doing. So love to have everybody here, 5 o'clock this afternoon. If you cannot be here this afternoon but want to participate in the project, just let me know. And after we make our plans today, we'll be sure and let everybody know what they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary. Welcome, children. And just a reminder, children, to come down during our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, Children's Time, led by our pastor, will occur right after that. I'd like to draw your attention to the bulletin insert, the white page that's located in your bulletin. Today has been designated as Hospice Sabbath, a day in honor and in memory of those who have been served by our local hospice and those that have passed on. I know that hospice has been meaningful to many of us in different ways, and we see the way that organization is used to minister to those among us in our church and in our community. This bulletin insert contains some information on the K.B. Reynolds Hospice Center, and we have the white rose here in honor of Hospice Sabbath Day today. At this time, I'd like to welcome our visitors. It's always good to have you worshiping with us at College Park, and we're honored that you chose to join us in worship today. I hope that you'll find this a warm and inviting place. But most importantly, we'll hope you find this a place that we worship the Lord with our hearts and minds. Our ushers have come down to the front, and if you are a visitor, if you would, just slip up your hand just high enough that they may see you. We would like to give you some more information on our church and let you know a little bit more, in addition to things that have been mentioned here, about what's going on in the life of our church. Thank you for being here today, and it's a pleasure to have you at College Park. At this time, I'd like to recognize our church's vice moderator, Jerry Cook, who will call us into a brief business session.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to call us into a special session for one purpose, for the election of deacons. And if you're a visitor today, if you'll just bear with us for a couple minutes, this won't take long. I'd like to call the ushers to come down front. And as the ushers come to your pew, if you would, just raise your hand so the ushers can see the members. If you would, identify yourself by just a raise of the hand. And one thing on the ballot to be aware of, there's 9 names on here. Do not vote for more than 6. That's how many you should be voting for this time. So if the ushers would come on down. And John, if you would, when you finish the choir, do the preschool, please. Thank you. Is there anybody who still needs a ballot? If you would, raise your hand so I can just make sure we got everybody covered. When you are finished marking your ballot, if you would, please just fold it in half and then pass it to the center part of the of the aisle. Okay. Does anybody need a ballot? Raise your hand. Okay. If you would, just pass your ballots to the center, please, and the ushers to come back and pick those up. We will be, for those that could not be with us this morning, there will be a person at the visitor center at 5:30 to 7 tonight to collect those ballots from members voting then, and then it will be all counted tonight. Okay, is everybody voted? If you've not, if you would, just raise your hand so I don't want to leave anybody out. Okay. With that, We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. As we move into a time of worship, I ask that you stand and join me in our invitation to share in worship, which we will read responsibly. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and glory.
Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you.
Our Lord, how majestic is your name. Lord, you are a wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, our rock, our sustainer, our deliverer. You are the Spirit of life, and for that we praise you. Lord, this morning as we come into to worship, Lord, help us to see who you are. Lord, knowing that we can never comprehend all of you. Lord, help us to be in awe of the mystery of who you are. Lord, help us to be in awe of your holiness. and help us to be completely aware of your love for us. So, Lord, we come not only to praise, Lord, but to come to offer ourselves as well, Lord, our needs, Lord, those things that are in the back of our mind this morning, Lord, those things that may be painful to us. And, Lord, we offer those to you as well. Lord, we ask that you would sustain us in the circumstances that are difficult, Lord. We ask that you would uplift us, Lord, that we would see who you are in the midst of all that we go through. And so, Lord, we offer up our concerns to you this morning. And we come in worship, Lord, knowing that worship is not about us, Lord, but that worship is about giving ourselves to you. And so this morning we not only offer you praise, we not only offer you our needs, Lord, but we offer ourselves to you. Lord, may this time of worship be something that brings honor and glory to your name. Lord, let it be pleasing in your sight. Lord, let us sing, let us pray, let us listen, and let us act with all of our might. Help us to love you more completely, more fully, each and every day. Lord, we offer this time to you. We invite you to be here with us because we know that you've promised already that where two or three are gathered in your name, you're in our midst. And so, Lord, this morning we welcome you here with us. May it be to all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Doing? Are you going to enjoy a week off? For those of you that are in school, you're going to enjoy a week off. What do you plan to do?
I think I'm going to a beach in a couple of weeks.
You're going to the beach?
I don't know if it's this week or not.
Well, just get in the car when it leaves, okay? You'll be okay. How many of you are going to clean? You're going back to Fayetteville? Okay. How many are going to clean up the room? No, okay. Well, good for you, honey. Good for you. This morning, we're going to talk about commandments, okay? And a little bit later in the sermon, we're going to talk about how Jesus was talking about the greatest commandment. And I wondered if you knew what a commandment is. Do you know what a commandment is? Yes, ma'am. You don't know. Okay. Who knows what a commandment is? It's kind of like, well, you heard of those things called the Ten Commandments, right? Do all commandments have to start, thou shalt not? No. No, they don't. What about rules? Are they kind of like commandments?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. How about laws? Are they kind of like commandments?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some funny laws out there. I wanted to share with you some. Did you know that in the state of North Carolina, there's a law that says it's against the law to sing off key? That really is a law. It's against the law to sing off key. It's also a law in the state of North Carolina that cotton fields cannot be plowed using elephants. That's a big relief to the cotton growers that they don't have to use elephants, or they can't use elephants. I wish Matt Wilson were here. He was here yesterday at the Wake Forest ball game. Yeah, he was here. But in the city of Dunn, North Carolina, which is where he is now, cars cannot drive on the sidewalks. Well, that's a good thing if you're walking on the sidewalk, right? It's against the law to drive on the sidewalks. It's also against the law to spit on the street in the city of Dunn. It's actually against the law in my hometown of Hendersonville to spit on the street. We don't want people spitting on our streets, okay? Now, I want to give you a couple that are kind of funny. In Mobile, Alabama, you can't take a bath in a city fountain. That's against the law. So if you're ever in Mobile and dirty, you can't do it in a city fountain. But here's the one that's a real bummer. You know that silly string stuff you spray? Do you know that's illegal in Mobile, Alabama? Can we hear a boo, boo? Yeah, they're no fun. They're no fun. And in Massachusetts, for those of you that snore, it's illegal to snore unless you put all of your windows down and securely fasten them. It's illegal in Massachusetts. Also in Massachusetts, all men are required to carry a rifle to church on Sunday. That's an actual law. But fortunately, hunting on Sunday is prohibited in the state of Massachusetts also. So that works out good. But the one that you've got to remember, if you're ever in Massachusetts and you're driving a car, it is against the law to have a gorilla in your back seat. There's actually a law that says that. Okay? Now, those are all silly laws and silly rules. What kind of rules are good ones? Yes, ma'am.
No stealing.
No stealing. Yes. That's a good rule. What are some other good rules? Okay, all right. Yes, sir.
Don't destroy people's property.
Don't destroy people's property?
Don't
run over people? Okay, all right. Don't fight? Okay. Don't worship other gods? That's right.
And don't see people when they're doing privacy.
That's right.
And don't open the door when anyone's using the bathroom.
Don't open the door. That's a good one. That's a good one. That is a good one. Those are all good rules. Don't steal people's toys. They're all good rules, okay? What about in worship? Do we have any rules in worship? Can you think of some of those? Yes, sir. We don't have a whole lot of rules in worship. Well, we got one about, you know, turning your cell phones and pagers on silent and stuff like that. But that's not really a rule. That's a suggestion. We don't really have any rules for worship because we have rules for life. God gave us the Ten Commandments. But then Jesus, and you listen real carefully when we get to the sermon this morning, because Jesus really combined the Ten Commandments when he talked about how we treat God. We're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. That's how we deal with God. But then he said also to love your neighbor. Now, what does it mean to love your neighbor? And I don't want you to answer that out loud. I want you to think about it. What does it mean to really love your neighbor? And we're going to talk about that when we get to sermon time. What does it really mean to love your neighbor? Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank you for these children. We thank you for the fact that we have some guidelines that you've given us on how to live, and we understand that. And we pray that our hearts would be such that we would want to please you, that we would want to keep your commandments, that we would want to keep the rules that you've given us for our own protection, not so we don't have fun, but so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. If Father, we thank you for these children and their enthusiasm, and we pray that you continue to bless their lives as they grow and they're loved and they're encouraged and they grow to be more like you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And get on back to your seats.
Thank you, children. What a joy to be able to look at those children and to know that as young as they are, they have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and to worship and to understand Him and be saved. That's a powerful thought. What would worship and church be without children to inspire us and to help us to see God better? And also, what would worship be without God's holy word and the ability to join and share in Scripture? And as we do that this morning, I encourage you to join with me as we share the ministry of God's Word. First from the Old Testament in the book of Ruth. As shown in your order of worship, we'll be sharing the first 8 verses of the first chapter of Ruth. Hear the Word of God, beginning in Ruth 1:1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and 2 sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left without her 2 sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her 2 daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me." And from the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, 9th chapter, verses 11 through 14. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who were ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. May the Lord bless the reading and understanding of His holy word. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, on this beautiful Sabbath morning, in this special place, it is an honor to worship you and to come to you in prayer. Lord, we are forever thankful for the opportunity to speak to you in prayer, to come to you directly, to confess our sins, to seek a greater relationship with you, and to feel your presence ever more closer in our own lives. Lord, in our moments of clarity, we're honest enough with ourselves to know that we are weak. We're especially weak when by our own actions and our own words and our own negligence, we separate ourselves from you. Lord, we have read your word. We have heard your scripture. We understand that among the greatest commandments is the commandment to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. Lord, let us not forget that. Let us keep that number one so that we may take hold of your promise. You have promised us that you would be present with us and that you would love us. Let us not neglect that any day of our lives and take that for granted. Because despite all you do for us, which is far more than we deserve, we understand that a relationship with you is two-way, that we have to contribute, that we have to make an effort to grow to you and to be present with you, to feel your strength and to understand what you have for us. Lord, as we face the realities of this world, difficulty, physical ailments, stress, difficult relationships, difficult decisions, family situations, work situations, and other issues. Lord, as we deal with those things this week, as we deal with the realities and the complications of life in this world, let us turn to you. Let us give all our heart and mind and strength to being present with you, to feeling your presence and abiding in your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us also take seriously the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us minister to others, Lord. We know that our brothers and sisters around us are dealing with the same kinds of things that we are. They are dealing with moments of weakness. Help us to love them the way you would have us to. Lord, help us to be ministers of your gospel, ministers of your word, to grow in your love and to share that love each and every day with others. Lord, collectively, as the body of Christ, both here at College Park and as Christians throughout the world, help us to go this week looking for ways to do good in your name, to fulfill the calling in our lives that you have given us with all of our talents and treasures and time. Lord, use us this week, both to serve each other, to serve those who don't yet know you, but who hopefully will. Lord, to do everything in your name. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Sorry, I'm a little hoarse this morning. I may have yelled a little too much last night. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of the season and the beauty of this day that you've given us. And we thank you for opportunities that you give us to serve you and to do your will. Help us to feed your opportunities with desire and the needs of the world with generosity on this day. And bless these gifts and those who will receive them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
The greatest commandment. We're going to read this morning from Mark chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 28 and read through verse 34. So I invite you to take your Bible and join with me. Mark chapter 12, beginning again in verse 28 and reading through verse 34. One of the teachers of the law, some translations may say scribe there, but one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Interesting passage. Listen, my sisters and brothers, to the words of this scribe, this teacher of Israel. Listen to the words of one man whose heart was yearning, I believe, to share in the teaching, the life-giving teaching of what he would call Rabbi Jesus, Teacher Jesus, who was traveling. He was traveling dusty roads. He was in the countryside with followers, with not yet followers, with those who would never follow. And he was teaching them. And he was preaching to them. And listen to this scribe when he said, "To love one's neighbor as himself, this is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." This is an interesting time of year for us as a church. If you think about the liturgical year or the church year, we are actually kind of wrapping up, concluding one church year and beginning a new one. And in the final weeks, you'll notice that the gospel readings we'll be reading from the Revised Common Lectionary will become a little bit more apocalyptic in their context and the message that will be presented. Because our hearts during this time of year are invited to hold side by side the coming of Advent, the expecting of the coming of Christ, and at the same time, the prayerful consideration of the end times. The distinction being made between Advent, the first coming of Christ, and the second Advent or the second coming of Christ, the end of the age, as we may call it. And in this context of this tension or this healthy tension, we have this encounter that sits on a fulcrum between the past experience, the past and the present. It's a fulcrum between the ancient wisdom and riches of Judaism, in which Jesus was very well versed and very steeped, and the yet-to-be riches of the Christian way that he was visioning out toward his disciples and trying to teach those who were following him. I believe for us as 21st century Christians, I think that we make the assumption sometimes that every time Jesus encountered a teacher of the law, a scribe or a Pharisee, every time he encountered one of these religious authorities, that it was an encounter of conflict or antagonism. And if faithful churchgoers think that, if we really believe that every time he encountered religious authorities, it was a hostile encounter, it would be an incorrect assumption for us, and it would be an easy step to say, well, if these Jewish leaders were always being attacked by Jesus, then Judaism and all that is contained within it must be bad or must be wrong. If we did that, that misunderstanding of Scripture would lead us to disdain the spiritual wealth of Jewish practice and learning. It would also lead us in our ignorance to turn hatred toward Judaism and Jews. It would be tragic. We need to re-examine maybe some of our misconceptions, our preconceptions. This dialogue between Jesus and the scribe is not a hostile one. On the contrary, it's a building. It's a building around the blessing of tradition, which is represented by this scribe, and a new teaching, something new that God is teaching us, which is represented by Jesus. The scribe invites, he actually asks Jesus to share, to express the deepest, the most meaningful, holy truth of his belief and practice. And how does Jesus respond? He responds by sharing the Shema, which is, many of you will recognize, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And the Shema was one of the principal statements, the undergirding statements of faith for Judaism. It's a proclamation of our holy God as the center from which all creation flows and toward which all of creation looks. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then what happens is kind of like a duet, a beautiful duet. Jesus and this scribe begin trading additional statements about how God's people respond to God's blessing, how God has blessed us. And an outpouring begins of these two adding to and building on. So you get kind of this cascading effect, this soaring proclamation about what the kingdom of peace, the kingdom of shalom, the kingdom of God is going to look like, what it should be like. The passage ends with Jesus actually gathering the blessing from the past and kind of casting it out into the present and the future. He tells the scribe, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, what was the statement that brought this kind of blessing? And that was a statement of blessing, interestingly enough. Don't misunderstand it. It was a statement of blessing. You're not far from the kingdom of God. Here's what the scribe had said. To love one's neighbor as oneself. This is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Whatever else you want to say about sacrifices and offerings, they are personal. They're individual. They're an offering back to God. Me on my behalf to God. You on your behalf toward God. Offering who you are back to God. It is an individual expression. Now, you'll say, well, wait a minute. It wasn't always that way. And yes, there were times when offerings and sacrifices were made for the whole people, for all of the people. There were times of famine, which they were done. There were times of exile, when they were done. They were also the high holy days, when they were done as a large group, as a nation. But 99 times out of 100, they were very private. It's something that's done with God, given to God by individuals. Now, Jesus, in his teaching here, he's standing firmly rooted in prophetic Jewish tradition. He, although being steeped in Judaism, he was still not being private and exclusive. You see, Jesus was about community. Jesus was about Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was about discovering the presence of God in community. The scribe doesn't say, nor does Jesus, that offerings and sacrifices don't have their place. That's not what they were saying, because they do. An offering, a sacrifice, is a way that we practice with God what God is training us to do. And what is that? To love Him with all that we are, and to love others. I like to think of it this way. I don't know if you ever watched a parent and child. There's a game called Give, Give Back. Parents, I know you probably have done this. You may not recognize it by the title, but it goes something like this. We have a young child, and you have a parent. And the parent gives that child something. It could be a blanket, it could be a toy, it could be a book. And the parent looks at the child and say, will you give it back to mommy or will you give it back to daddy? And the child innocently gives it back. And the parent says, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Then the parent looks at the child and says, would you like this? And the child will indicate affirmatively, and the parent will say, what do you say? Please. What do you say? Please. And when they receive it, what do you say? Thank you. Then the parent will ask for it back again. Will you give it to mommy? Will you give it to daddy? And the child will give it to the parent. And the parent will say, thank you. Thank you. And this will go on and on and on. And it may be multiple days. It may be for weeks. It may be for months. But the child learns something. And then comes that critical point when mom takes the child to the church nursery and a stranger shows up. And the parent looks at the child and says, will you give it to them? Will you give them your favorite toy from the nursery? Will you share your book? Or, when you ask for something, what will you say? Will you say please and thank you when it's given to you? That's the game. You see, the initial game was just practice for what was going to be an important skill that was trying to be instilled in this child. The skill of giving and being grateful when you're given something. Now, you may have seen this. You may have witnessed this at some level. And you may never really thought about it, but it really is a bizarre thing. It's really a strange encounter. Because think about it. The parent gives something, asks something, gives something to the child. It's not the child's. The child didn't earn it. It's not something that they went out and purchased themselves and then the parent asked for it. So why should the parent say thank you? The object came from the parent. The child is learning something very important from the parent. The parent is modeling an attitude of gratitude, and inviting the child to mimic that attitude. So the parent is teaching the child how to receive with grace and how to give with generosity. In the same way, a sacrifice, an offering, something that we give to God is God's way of teaching us how to give with generosity and to receive with grace. So God invites us to practice this. He invites us to practice this way of giving with Him. Learning how to give. Learning how to receive. He offers that to us to practice with Him so that when we encounter the stranger in the nursery, we'll know how to give to them. We'll know how to love others, which should be about our true vocation. To love the Lord our God, and to love others as ourselves. Who are others? We talked with the children. Who are our neighbors? How do we learn to love our neighbors? How do we learn to love other people? Who are they? It could be your enemies. It could be someone that lives beside you. It could be someone in the pew beside you. It could be the person that cuts you off in traffic. How do you love them? God says, as you practice generosity, as you practice graciousness, you learn how to love other people. Listen, he said, to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. This gospel reading This encounter is about the end time, because it's about what that holy commonwealth, the kingdom of God, is going to be like. In that glorious realm, there is one God who will be loved with all of our being, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. But we'll also love each other perfectly. We'll love God perfectly, but we'll also love each other perfectly. That's what the kingdom of God will be like. But what Jesus is talking and teaching in his earthly ministry is that then can be now. What we will do then can also be done now. There's nothing about then that cannot be done now. We are not far from the kingdom of God, as he said. You are not far from the kingdom of God because it is all around us. It is among us. It is around us. It's beneath us. It's above us. It's before us. It's in the neighbor that we dare to love. And Jesus is challenging us to live what we are awaiting. Let's pray together. Dear Father, it's a difficult teaching. Because sometimes it's a whole lot easier just to try to figure out what we're supposed to do. Just tell us what to do, God, and we'll do that. But you've given us an example in your word of exactly what we are supposed to do. And that is to love the Lord our God with all of our being. And to love our neighbors in the same way. Father, help us to know what that really means. Help us to know in our daily lives how we give all that we have to you and at the same time love our neighbors as ourselves. Father, we pray for wisdom. Father, we pray that your word would become so important to us that we would seek it out daily to read, to learn, so that we'll know how to do the greatest commandments of all. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. It's a difficult teaching. It kind of goes against the grain of our culture. Because we have been conditioned to love ourselves first and take care of number one. But God is giving us another pattern. And I want to invite you this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to kind of turn your priorities upside down, to make God first. And to put others second. And to put yourself toward the bottom of the list. Again, that's not a comfortable thing sometimes, but that's exactly what God has called us to be. And we want to share with you how Jesus has taught that. So I want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to share with you how you can receive Him. And begin eternity, begin a kingdom of God, in the presence of God today, as you receive Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you're a believer already. But your priorities are a little misguided and you want to have an opportunity to talk with God in prayer and to realign your priorities. I want to challenge you to do that in the time of response that we'll have. Perhaps you're here and you would like to be a part of this congregation. We are part of a community of faith and we love and encourage one another and invite you to be a part of that. Well, there are several ways that we receive members and be glad to talk with you. If you're here this morning and would like to come and just pray that the Holy Spirit I would be free to move among this place and among our people. I want to invite you to come and kneel and pray. And as you feel led to respond to the invitation, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing together. want to ask if you would be seated for just a moment, please. I want to introduce to you the Anthony family. Henry, if you would come with your family here, Charles and Hunter, the whole gang is coming today by a transfer of letter from a sister church here in our community. And well, they have been a part of children's ministry and youth ministry for months now. And they're coming now and say they want to make it official. All have experienced believers' baptism and have a personal relationship with Christ. So they're all coming by transfer of letter. If you will pray for them and encourage them, I want you to join me in saying amen. All right, very good. I want to also invite you to come by at the conclusion of the service and greet them and shake their hands and hug on them and do all that good stuff, right? Yeah, good deal. Would you join me in standing for a benediction, please? Hear a benediction from God's Word. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.